Yo, what up, YouTube? It's the double agent you can trust, and you can call me Agent Zero.
My friend, stop. Do an actual intro.
Yo, podcast people, it's the one and only legend of winning, aka Lo, better known as the double agent you can trust, right?
I hope that's not the podcast name.
Oh, no. Well, it's going to be in a podcast. Yo, shout out
to you're not gonna add that in there,
bro. Oh, no, it's not. I'm not gonna add it in there. I mean, it's already there.
Yeah, but you can cut it out for sure.
Okay, if you want.
Yeah, no, you're not gonna leave it in there.
If for you sure. want it yeah. cut out, then you better edit a pod. But yeah, what up, podcast people? It's Lo. We back with another episode of the Off Top Podcast, better known as LeBron getting robbed again. That's tough.
Don't go there, man. Don't go there.
Yo, agents, say what's up to these people, man. Say what's up.
Hello, good ladies and gentlemen of the nation. I'm your host, White Boy 7th Street.
That's a stop. Stop.
What's good with y'all, man? Hey, interestingly enough, although it's not free agency yet, over the last like 4 days we haven't done a podcast. There's been a lot of stuff on Twitter. I was like, yep, I'm gonna talk with Lo about that. I'm gonna talk with Lo about that too. There's been a lot of stuff popping off, some rumors stirring up. And of course, what's the correct word I'm looking for? It's almost like an adjective. You know when like someone feels they're big shit, like they always deserve something? Is it conceited? The conceited Laker fans, of course, anticipating that everybody in free agency is going to land exactly the way they predict, like every year does.
Well, they obviously. Let's be honest. We're obviously going to get Kawhi, LeBron, and PG.
You're not a Laker fan, though. You're a full fledged Atlanta fan.
Stop. I'm a Laker fan, bro. We are going to get Paul George.
Uh huh. Who else?
Kawhi Leonard.
And anybody? Who else?
And LeBron.
Alrighty. Nice.
So and honestly, if you think about it, DeMarcus Cousins, he should take a pay cut, so we might get Boogie as well. So we're going to have us a super team.
Lo?
Yeah.
You just stop. You can't just stop talking in the middle of a conversation, pretend like that wasn't weird.
Oh, no. Wait, I think my mic just went out, but I was still talking. Yo, yeah, that might be my mic. Yo, but before we get into all the free agent talk real quick, first we got to talk about this NBA award show, because that right there was a cringe fest. That was just...
I'm not going to lie to you. Look, can I be honest?
Go ahead, go. Be honest.
I didn't watch it, man. I just had Woj on notifications.
Hey, yo, you know, it's so funny. Playing. Hey, can I be honest with you, agent? Can I be honest?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Because I think I can just come to you with all my problems. You know what I'm saying? So let me.
For sure.
Talk to me. You know, let me open up my chest, get this off my shoulders and stuff real quick, man. As someone who has a YouTube channel dedicated to the NBA, I did not watch the NBA. What is that? What is that called? The award ceremony? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I did not watch it. And it's not like I thought, like, oh, well, there's no need for me to watch it because I'm just going to get the information on Twitter. I didn't want to watch it.
Like, yep, me neither.
That whole show is like a waste of time. I understand what Adam Silver, he's trying to do. He's trying to extend the NBA season out a little longer, build the anticipation. First of all, before we can keep going, don't ever have me waiting until 11 p.m. to figure out who the MVP is. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. 11 p.m.
weeks after the playoffs have been completed. I put out a tweet, and I wasn't even watching it. I just saw like other people tweeting about it. I was like, man, they should really make the award show in the middle of the following season next year. I think that's the move for real. Because nobody cares anymore. And also, Nazir Muhammad, I'm sure you remember him. Used to be a center for the Bulls for a lot of teams.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I remember him now. As soon as you said the Bulls.
Because that's you put into picture, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
When Joakim Noah was actually a good player.
I remember now. Yep. Mm-hmm. What did he say?
So he put out a tweet and he said that he didn't like the award show because you know previously they would announce the Defensive Player of the Year and then he would get like his own press conference and then the press would show up and they would ask him questions and it would almost be like a celebration for him actually getting the award. But he said that now that's been minimized to just a 1 minute thank you speech on the NBA award show. So he said that it's not fair to the players that have worked so hard that are winning these awards to not have their own day, to not have their own run where, like, that's all people are talking about that day is that Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year. And so I kind of agreed with him on that front. Of course, there's the obvious, why is it happening that late? Like, at that point, people lose interest. And I think that because the league tries a lot of different shit, especially like an All-Star weekend, they're going to, I don't know what the ratings were, but I can't imagine they were good. So they're likely going to revert to what they've tried to do in the past, which is what I hope they do, which would make sense because a lot of people weren't feeling it, to be honest. And I had zero interest in getting off Fortnite just so I could watch that awards show. Zero at all whatsoever. I was not about to do it. But yeah. I just had my phone open. I was just getting all the notifs.
It's not even just that. It's also the fact that there's a lot of ex-NBA players who are saying that the moment, not just with the media, but with the fans, you know, because when they name MVP, the defense player of the year, if you're still in the playoffs, you get to have that moment where, like, you're at your hometown and, or not your hometown, but you're at a home court advantage. You're playing a playoff game at home and you get the trophy and you get to raise it above your head amongst all the fans who came out to not only watch the playoff game, but also, you know, watch you win your award or receive your award. And so having all of that stripped from them, I get it. Again, I understand what Adam Silver what he's trying to do. It's just that, I think he's missing the mark, and I think he's overthinking something that is too simple to extend to a point where we're talking about
it. I don't think that's it, Lo. I think he's just trying something new. You know, like, every year the dunk contest has different rules. They just want to see what flies and then try and improve on it.
No, I think he's trying to extend the NBA season. Which I'm not really blaming him. I'm just saying I don't think he's executing it properly.
There's so many, like, just let's sit down, Lo. We're content creators. We could think of millions of content ideas with NBA players at our disposal over the course of summer if they're interested. And then pay those NBA players if they want to be part of a content series. Just keep people hooked. So they're like, the NBA is like an entire year-round thing, even if the players aren't playing year-round. Because in a couple months after free agency, we're going to have players playing in all kinds of pro-am leagues. We're going to have Jamal Crawford cooking people. And we're going to see all these clips of... We saw just the other day a clip of Fultz just dancing like he was an NBA Street character. And it's like, so there's always going to be content. And it's like, this is not the way, in my opinion, to extend that. And it's not even... That's not even remotely controversial. I would be surprised if anybody sat there and enjoyed the show, to be honest with you. The only thing I enjoyed about it, Lo, you know that reporter the Dime reporter, the black girl? I forgot her name.
What's her name? Ross?
I'm gonna scroll down. Nah, it's Taylor Rooks. You told me about it.
That's another Dime.
Did you see her? Yeah. Did you see her at the award show? My goodness.
Yeah, she looked
If I was an NBA player, Lo, I don't know how I could restrain myself. It takes so much willpower to not just holler at her.
She's moving up in the hierarchy of, you know, baddies in the NBA. NBA hierarchy. Baddies, you know.
My guy, you got a ladder written down on your piece of paper?
Of course, of course.
You got the rankings? What
the fuck? Of course. Like I said, I think her name is Rose Gold or something like that, or Roscoe. The reporter that used to solely report for the Golden State Warriors, I think now she does a lot more ESPN. She's out there. Who could ever forget, though? And I think she's probably number one on this. Doris Burke. That's sideline bae. That's bae you get to see every game. You know what I'm saying? So there's a hierarchy of them. You know, you got a couple of them here and there. I see Rachel Nichols. I see you out there, too.
Did you know Rachel Demita is dating Andre Orbison? Did you hear about that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. Shooting guard of the Thunder is dating the star of NBA 2K TV. Oh, that's wild,
man. The fact that that's on her resume, star of 2K TV.
Yo, she clouded up after getting destroyed by Quavo. You know those two massive blocks in the celebrity game over All-Star Weekend?
Completely forgot about that.
Yeah, no, she definitely clouded up after that, man. Shout out to her. Hey, if I got blocked by Quavo, I monetize that shit immediately. I'd sell posters and t-shirts.
Face ass. But, yeah, the NBA, the whole little award ceremony, it was trash. No, I didn't watch it. A lot of people in the Discord that I'm in didn't watch it. There's a lot of people on Twitter who didn't watch it. And even the people who are on Twitter, they were upset how long it was taking just to reveal the MVP.
So what did they say? Was there a lot of commercial breaks? That's what I anticipated.
It was a lot of commercial breaks. They did a, because I switched on to it midway through, right? And I was like, you know, it's about 10:30, so you know, it's probably about time right now. Tell me why I turned. It was like a little after 10:30, something like that. But tell me why I'm sitting here looking at a goddamn Travis Scott live performance. One of the worst performances too. It's not, and Travis Scott isn't like a terrible performer, or he's not, at least the performances I've seen from him, he's not, it's not terrible. This is a terrible, bad mic, no movement, standing still, doing a hype song too. It's not like he's like doing like one of the J. Cole's type of stuff.
Was he doing Goosebumps? I bet he was doing Goosebumps.
No, he was doing Look at My Rollie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that what it called? It's called Watch, but I mean, I'm trying to figure
out. Why do they, the real question is why they had the live performance.
I don't know. And if
they
did have it, why?
Why was it televised? Why would they think that's what people wanted to see at a time like that?
Literally, it was almost like they're trying to do the BET Awards. Like, I don't understand why are you doing that? But, so yeah, I mean, I'm kind of off that though, because that's kind of OD. Before we get into any, I guess the conversations and debates that many people are trying to have, and low key, yo, we might have to, we need to find somebody who's going to disagree with us more, because I'm pretty sure both of us agree what happened and what should have happened and stuff like that. But a quick shout out to all the winners. The MVP winner, James Harden. Oh, well, I'll just say your league's MVP, James Harden. Rookie of the year went to Ben Simmons. Sixth man of the year went to Lou Will. Two-time sixth man of the year winner, right?
Yep.
Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, which had a lot of people kind of questioning. Victor Oladipo, my guy Vic. Man, shout out to Vic. Man, he was out there singing too. He's not your guy, bro. He was smooth. He was wild. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to my man Vic from Most Improved. Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year. Your coach, right? You want to congratulate your coach?
Has that ever happened? Coach of the Year gets cut from the team?
George Karl. He was like a few years ago.
That's crazy. That's crazy when you sit back and think about it. Also, Brad Stevens deserved it.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is a good coach. Or even Quinn Snyder, but both of them deserved it. Daryl Morey for Executive of the Year. And the NBA Sportsmanship Award goes to Kemba Walker. I don't know how you win that.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
Is it a Sportsmanship Award?
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know what's the criteria for that, but Sager Strong Award goes to Dikembe. Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Oscar Robertson. Teammate of the Year goes to Jamal Crawford. And NBA Cares Community Assist Award
goes to let me guess it. Oh, my bad. You bitch. I cannot believe you continue talking.
So any problem before we kind of dissect a lot of these things?
We don't have to dissect it, man. Almost everything you said was obvious. Well, the only not obvious award was Rookie of the Year.
Well, no, we kind of had a back and forth about Dwayne Casey, but both of us, again, we both agreed. I don't think Casey should have won. It's not really a knock on Dwayne Casey either. He did a fine job. It's just that when you look at both of the situations that the Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics were in throughout the entire season, how they were able to put themselves in a situation to win, it's kind of head scratching to see how Dwayne Casey would win it. I understand they said
but it's a lot of people were mad at it. But you can't be mad at that choice. If it is a regular, if it was a postseason award, then it would be different. But it was a regular season award where the Raptors were first in that conference. And so you ask, how are they first? Especially when you look at their two stars that always find a way to crumble in the postseason. And maybe that contrast gave some people perspective as to how successful they were in the regular season. He's a great coach. This year, of course, we talked on the pod a lot about how the Raptors made changes offensively, but also kept strong defensively, at least in the regular season. And it was impressive. And so he deserves to be recognized for that. I don't think he was the best coach in the league that year. And so if you are giving an award to the best coach, then there are some questions there. But there were some people clowning Dwayne Casey. And that's not only is that disrespectful, come on. You obviously don't watch enough basketball if you don't think he was top five that year. At least. And that's at least. And so, yeah, when you give out awards, usually it goes by narrative. And I think they're tired of giving the awards to the same three people. And I can guarantee Brad Stevens will get plenty of those awards in the future, just like Greg Popp has. But I don't know how much Coach of the Year is Dwayne Casey's going to get. So maybe they took this as an opportunity to slide one to maybe like a – I would consider him like an underdog candidate. I don't even think he was – I would probably put two coaches ahead of him, at least this year.
Yeah.
If I sat there and thought about it. But
yeah, Casey did fine. I don't – like you said, he should have been recognized or at least in a conversation. And for the people who think that he shouldn't be in a conversation, that's crazy. But I'm gonna go with Brad Stevens. Practically a totally different roster. Second best player goes down. You're dealing with rookies and sophomores and a lot of bench players. No knock on the Terry Rozier's, the Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum's of the worlds. But I mean the lack of the lack of experience that all of them had at times started to show. And so when you get to a point where other coaches in the NBA are publicly stating that they give the Boston Celtics a 10-point lead before the game even starts simply because of Brad Stevens' ability to operate out of bound plays, then I mean you got to give it to Brad Stevens at that point, or at least that's my opinion on it.
There was an article that came out like a few months ago that I read talking about how anytime New England makes a move, whether it's for like a undrafted prospect or whether they draft somebody that they didn't anticipate was going to be that high, there was an actual report that said executives talk. There's plenty of executives that talk amongst themselves, asking questions like, "What does New England know that we don't?" So the franchise has been so successful, New England, that when they make a move, people are like, "Wait, what? They must know something. They must have some insider information about that player because they always seem to find the best in players." And so I'm sensing the same. And I guess Boston is so spoiled in successful sport teams, they might not even truly appreciate their situation. But it's literally, with the Boston Celtics, it's the exact same thing. We see him draft a player. They were making some moves just this week, as signing players to the team. And you start to ask questions like, what do they know? Because if you look back like 3 years ago, Lo, they had an opportunity to cut Terry Rozier. He was at the very bottom of the rotation, and so although he flopped in Game 7, what we saw was a player who blossomed given the opportunity due to injuries on the team. And so it's like, how did they know not to cut him? Because if you look back last year, they had an opportunity to cut RJ Hunter, and he's not on the team no more. I don't know what team he's on. And so it seems like they know what to do with certain players and what fits where, how to develop who. And it's not just the head coach, it's the entire coaching staff.
Any thoughts on the defensive player of the year, a winner only playing like, I think he missed almost like a third of the season, if I'm not mistaken. I know he only played like 50 some games. People were kind of like thinking to themselves like, well, if the finalists are, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis should have won defensive player of the year because Gobert and Embiid missed too many games. I understand that logic, which is why Anthony Davis ended up finishing second, but the impact that Gobert had on that team just on the defensive end really shifted their progression throughout the entire season and the amount of progress they saw, not just from Gobert, but from everybody else on the defensive end, also shifts pretty significantly once Gobert was there. So I understand the logic to why people are upset about that, but if we're just looking at the impact that he had, I think he played enough games, or at least showed within the amount of games that he played that defensively, he was just on a whole nother level, which is why before the results, I had him winning the defensive player of the year as well, regardless of how many games he ended up playing during the regular season.
Yep. He deserved it.
Yeah.
I'd be mad if he didn't get it.
Yeah.
He was the best defensive player that year, and 55 is enough sample size. Stop. People pretend like 55 isn't plenty games. If you can't tell after 55 games whether somebody deserves the defensive player of the year, whether they were the best defensive player or they had the biggest defensive impact on their team, then You need to start watching a little bit more basketball. All right, especially because it was exactly when he returned that Utah Jazz went through that insane streak of just winning and winning, more winning. It was a mad resurgence, and it began with one guy. Also, like, Anthony Davis is going to get his, bro, like, no matter what. But if you're using, like, one-third of the season that he didn't play as the excuse, you need to think of a different excuse. Like, maybe Anthony Davis did this better defensively than him, and he had a better impact here than but that would be a better argument, in my opinion. But they'll go back and forth. It'll be contested for, like, the next 3-4 years. Both those guys are fantastic defensive players.
True, true, true. And then finally, I guess we got to talk about this.
What are we talking about?
James Harden have won the MVP over LeBron?
Who's talking about that? Who said that?
I mean, come on, agent. I mean, he has more total points, more total rebounds, more total assists. He played more games and played more minutes. I mean, come on, agent. He obviously should have won this year over James Harden. Come on, agent.
Isn't it crazy how people feel like it's okay to move the goalposts every single year for the awards just so that the person they want to win the award, they can make an argument that, no, he should have won it because of this. But you're moving the goalposts. Every year, people tell Harden, no, but you see, he did this, and he really should have done that. At last 3 years, Harden's just been sitting there like, what do I got to do to win one of these awards, man? How fantastic do I have to play? Do I have to average a triple-double like Westbrook did? What do I have to do? Do I have to win more? I did that. I was first in the Western Conference against the stacked Golden State Warriors. And that doesn't even include all the other teams in the West. He did everything he had to do. If someone is still making the argument this year that Harden did not deserve MVP, but when LeBron was more valuable to his team than Harden was to his team, you're moving the goalposts. You wasn't saying the same thing last year about Westbrook. You wasn't saying the same thing the year before. And it continues, Lo. It happens year after year after year. And I don't know if they just hate James Harden, though, or they just love their guy so much, they're okay with James Harden being finessed out of another award. It'd be a shame, though, looking back at Kobe's career to say he has one MVP, right? Because Nash took two of the MVPs.
Yeah.
One that clearly should have been his. So it's like, you don't want to look back at someone's career and be like, how did he only win one or two MVPs? And he has such a fantastic phase in his career where he was putting up MVP numbers. Anyway.
Personally for me, and just to kind of share my thoughts on it and just be quick, I've never, like you said, every year we keep changing the definition of what an MVP is. Every year. And I think part of the reason why fans feel obligated to do so is because through the media, there really hasn't been any form of consistency what an MVP is. I mean, you'll literally see the same people who are voters defined it 1 year as if you take X player off of X team, then they would be, you know, their record would be significantly different. And then the next year, it's about how many wins a team has, despite the fact that one player may have significantly less help than somebody else in another year. Because, I mean, and again, I'm not really necessarily knocking Westbrook here. It's really just, again, the lack of consistency. Westbrook won the MVP last year. If it wasn't solely, it was because a huge part of the reason why he won is because he averaged a triple-double. Because there's been multiple players throughout NBA history who have been on struggling teams with little to no help, or that was the narrative behind players such as Kobe and LeBron and D-Wade, and they gave it to Nash. And even though I don't believe that he should have won it, it makes sense in the traditional sense of you're going to win the MVP if you have one of the better records in the league, despite the fact that Nash played with Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, Barbosa, you know, Rajah Bell, Joe Johnson, so on and so forth, all those players in a 2 year span, and also had D'Antoni on the bench. And it was very obvious that the system that he was playing in allowed his assist numbers to inflate to a point where he was a consistent double-double guy. Not knocking Steve Nash, but I mean, that's just how they played. When you get to a point where if you're telling me that Nash is supposed to win because of the regular season success that they had, then I don't even see how it's a conversation why James Harden not only should not have won it this year, but I would even go as far as saying last year he should have won it as well. But there's just consistent narratives and arguments to who's supposed to win this year and that and next year, and the definition continues to change. But I'll end on this note. And this is not me being a LeBron hater. I actually really enjoy LeBron. But it is the level of disrespect to, regardless of who it is, it doesn't matter if it's James Harden or even Derrick Rose, the level of disrespect to James Harden as soon as he wins the MVP, not like the next year, not next week when we don't have really much to talk about, as soon as he wins the MVP, you had not only fans on Twitter, but you had verified media members, not only on Twitter, but even on networks, using this ridiculous statistical metric that they've made up and they concocted this year to claim that LeBron deserved it over James Harden. as if it's out of the realm of possibility that James Harden could have won this season. And then their metric and the logic behind it is so vastly flawed. If we had used the same metric in three of the four MVPs that LeBron ended up winning, then you're basically saying LeBron should only have one or two MVPs. But no one doesn't want to make that argument for LeBron. And it's again, it's just the level of disrespect to sit here and watch Harden perform. Perform great. It's not like it was some outlier season where you could question it. To sit here and disrespect the season James Harden had just because you have this agenda or your favorite player didn't win the MVP. And again, I'm far from a James Harden fan. I don't even like the way he plays. I'm not a fan of him at all. But I can acknowledge what he's been able to do over the last 4 to 5 years of his career. And for him to finally receive an MVP, all praise go to him. But we don't have to continue to tear players down just so you can elevate LeBron. That shit is getting really old. Like, really, really old.
I agree wholeheartedly. I saw you put out those graphics, my guy. And Manz was stealing your graphics. Told you you should watermark your graphics.
Yeah,
you're right.
I need to make a watermark real quick because... My, and you know, so funny, the dude hit me back on Twitter. He was like, "Yo, my bad, man. I thought it was just some random Twitter page." Who cares if it's a random Twitter page? You're still supposed to give somebody credit. Like, the logic that he had was stupid. But yeah, I just.
Nah, I'd have definitely took pictures from people. And not, if NBC posts a picture, like LeBron going up for a poster, I'd just take the photo and caption it. It's not my photo. I mean, people, this is what people do. It's Twitter. That's why I say just put your watermark on it. Every designer does it. You're the only guy I know that doesn't put his watermark on stuff. And people take it, and then they don't know where it's coming from, you know?
True. But yeah.
Anyway, it's not like people saw that graphic, and they were like, whoa, I'm astounded by the design. Face. The artistic features. Headass.
And I guess the other conversation that people are having now, and kind of shifting back into the praising James Harden mode, with the MVP that he got this year, where does James Harden rank? And really not even just this MVP. I think it's a good time to kind of reflect and look at players such as Harden, Curry, Westbrook, KD, players who've been in the NBA for, you know, 8 to 10 years now. They're getting at that age and they've put enough on their resume to where the argument could be had to where they're ranking all time. I know you don't necessarily know where they rank or stuff like that, but at least among shooting guards.
Why would you say that?
What'd you say?
Why would you say that?
You don't. At least among shooting guards, though, where do you have Harden?
What do you, all time? Right now? What's the
all
question?
Time? Why would it be right now? It's obvious that he's the best shooting guard in the NBA. Calm down.
It's not true at all, man.
Who is it? Is it DeMar? Is DeMar?
The way,
is DeMar?
Have you seen the way DeMar DeRozan was playing this year?
Stop.
Is that relevant? How did we get to this question? I don't know how we got here.
I don't know, because I saw a lot of people on Twitter and some shows, and they're asking, what does this do for his
I don't
legacy?
Even think it's the correct time. Like, he has so much more to do. Maybe for LeBron, since he's so deep into his career, we could say, you're making me feel old right now, Lo, because I know, like, when KD came to the NBA, I was watching him, and now, like, you could sit here, how long has he been in the NBA? Like 10 years?
10 years has been a full decade, man.
So it's just weird that I feel like, I don't know, man. And I'm only 22. So there's definitely somebody who's like 40 listening to this shit. Like, man, shut the fuck up. You ain't old. Like,
and then I'm listening to the 40 some telling him to shut the fuck up because he not old because I'm 68. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I know you don't do it, but I mean.
Okay, name some shooting guards.
Obviously, Kobe, MJ. In that order. Mm-hmm. Wade.
In what? Huh? In that order? Huh? You said something. I heard you say something. Could you backtrack?
Kobe, MJ, Wade. Some people have Jerry West as a shooting guard. Some people have Iverson as a shooting guard. Clyde Drexler.
Would you put Iverson over James Harden? Because I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. If I'm listing him as a shooting guard, I wouldn't either. But I'll say this about James Harden.
You didn't give us your ranking. Damn.
What'd you say?
You didn't give us the ranking, man. You're giving the explanation before you give us the answer.
He's okay. I have him top five shooting guard all time.
So who are the four? You say MJ, Jerry
Kobe,
West.
Wade. I don't have Jerry West as a shooting guard. I have him as a point guard. And my fourth is Clyde Drexler. Now, people are going to be upset at me because I said Clyde is still ahead of him. And they're going to say, well, Clyde never won MVP.
That's an odd decision.
Neither did Wade. Wade never won MVP either. But let me be clear on why I'm saying this. And this is not... I'm not necessarily trying to knock Harden. I'm just trying to put things in context here. Because Harden, what he's done over the last 4 to 5 years, has definitely put himself in a situation, not just even amongst shooting guards, but amongst all-time greats, to be considered in that conversation of players. And I would put him even in the top... If we're talking about all-time players, he's definitely top 50. And he's probably even top 30, 35, maybe even 25, somewhere around that range. I wouldn't be surprised if I sit down and do it again where I rank him. But I'm saying all that to say, A, to me, and this is just a personal thing, I don't put that much weight on an MVP because I thoroughly understand, again, like we just said, how the definition continues to change. And so due to the lack of consistency, ironically enough, the MVP continues to lose its value as an award. You see what I did there? The most valuable player loses its value. You see that? You saw I did it?
I did. Okay. Yeah, that was very punny.
And so because of that, and I'm not saying it's irrelevant because there's definitely some historic weight to it. There's only a handful of players throughout NBA history who have won an MVP. But the problem, well, at least the bigger problem is that I just know that other players who have not won an MVP, and they just so happen to be shooting guards as well, Clyde Drexler and D. Wade, they had regular seasons to where they were able to put up ridiculous stat lines as well and be highly efficient also. And people get caught up in this idea that the only way that you can fill up a stat sheet is by points, rebounds, and assists, where Clyde Drexler, he didn't fill it up in the assist category as much as James Harden did, but he more so filled it up in the steals category, and his field goal percentage was always in the high 40s, borderline 50%. And then you talk about what happens in a postseason, and this is what really holds back James Harden. I made a video about it as well. The thing for me that continues to holds back James Harden is his inability to play at an MVP standard or be an MVP caliber player in the postseason. Because even this year, I understand as a unit, they got to the conference finals, and I'm not necessarily saying that he had nothing to do with that. However, after the first round, when they played the Minnesota Timberwolves, he really wasn't that effective, nor was he that efficient. He was able to draw some double teams.
He wasn't effective in the Timberwolves series either, by the way.
Yeah, he really wasn't either. But when they got to the Utah Jazz series, his efficiency just dipped significantly. It was ridiculous. And Chris Paul, and if I understand the reason why they got Chris Paul is to make sure they help him out in the postseason. But if Chris Paul didn't play the way they played, I think it would have been completely different. And I think it's ironic to me, and this is another reason why I think that James Harden is just held to a different standard, which is why I can't put him in the same conversations with the Kobe Wades or even Drexler in some debates. But if Chris Paul had played the way that James Harden played, you would have never heard the end of it.
He did. Chris Paul was inconsistent, too.
When? I mean, in the Utah Jazz series?
Throughout the whole playoffs.
No, he wasn't.
There was a series where he shot like a complete bucket.
No, he didn't.
But
no,
he didn't. No, he doesn't have the same green light as James Harden, though. It was the whole team doing it. It wasn't just Harden. And you can argue Harden was the leader, so he has to set the tone. And you're right. He definitely wasn't playing like an MVP. I don't even know if he was playing like he was top five in the playoffs.
He wasn't. Let me answer that question. He wasn't. He wasn't.
But that being said, I do think, talking about these all-time shooting guards, If Harden continues to play the way he's doing in the regular season, he'll eventually see postseason success. Over the next five years,
though?
Man.
You're saying that casually.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think so. Yes. I completely disagree.
They made it to game 7 against the fucking Warriors.
So are we talking about team success? And I'm not trying to be that guy, but are we talking about team success or individual success? Because the thing,
both. If you're the leader of a team, then.
But when they got to 7 games with the Warriors because of Harden or because of I think Chris Paul contributed way more than Harden did.
I think Chris Paul contributed more intangibles. He was leading plenty of timeouts.
Chris Paul is a better player in both the Jazz and
I thought you were saying overall. I was about to really question your basketball expertise for a second.
No, but I
think James Harden will be better than Dwayne Wade at the end of his career.
No, I don't.
I think he'll be third best shooting guard of all time. And I think that part of the reason why people respect Dwayne Wade is because he always shows up in big moments. And so, but that happens in the Eastern Conference. In the Eastern Conference, you don't have to go up against Utah Jazz defense.
Let me stop you there. Let me spit these facts to you. Because D. Wade in his third year in the NBA faced the Pistons. And this was the Pistons with Ben Wallace. This is not a knock on LeBron, but this is just a fact. When LeBron beat the Pistons, that was without Ben Wallace. D. Wade beat them when they had Ben Wallace on their roster.
Why are you saying that? Like, Ben Wallace is a premier all-star that everybody's supposed to be afraid of.
You're the one who brought up defense.
You said he was drafted 03, 04, give it 3 years. That's like 2006, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but all I'm saying is, you're saying the Utah Jazz premier defense. That's what you just said, right? And that's, I'm not saying right. It wasn't great defense.
But you just mentioned one player. That's not what makes Utah Jazz great. It's the fact that they have a suite of players. That but no matter which lineup you suite have
of,
on.
A great defensive players as well.
Okay. So, you mentioned... So, what would you say, Lo? Throughout the course of Dwayne Wade's career, in terms of the postseason, is the point I was trying to make. Do you think he's going to have to deal... You think Dwayne Wade dealt with more competition in the Eastern... And keep in mind, there were definitely some good teams. Not like he was just running over buckets. But the second he joined up with LeBron, and I know he won that championship with Shaq, and definitely that helped cement his legacy. Because if everything he won with came with LeBron, then just like before Kobe won with Powell, people will start to have questions like, can he win by himself? Or does he need other top three players or best players in the league to help him do that? I think that James Harden will go through tougher competition over the course of his career. And I do think that at some point he will get over the hump. And he was so fucking close to doing it. And I know he would have been able to do it had it not been for injury this year. And that's saying a lot because going into that series, Lo, I thought the Warriors would win in five. And so even though Harden didn't play great, he was enough of a magnet that he gave opportunities to his teammates to play great. And so whether they showed up or whether they were completely breaking the shots, whether players like Chris Paul took leadership and gave those intangibles. Also, there were some insane shots he was hitting in some of those games.
I was about to say, I think you're vastly underrating what Chris Paul did in that series. And I would go as far as saying that Chris Paul was the better player in that series.
I disagree with you.
Anyway, before we get on that, let me be clear again on this. In 2006, and I understand what you're saying about the talent, and I'm not questioning if we're just talking about complete teams, but in 2006, D. Wade against the Detroit Pistons, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, and again, I'm not really trying to knock LeBron, but when LeBron does this, everybody celebrates. D. Wade did this the season before LeBron. And I understand that the context there that, you know, LeBron didn't have as much help or whatever. Shaq at this time was a 20-10 player. Not saying that's not nothing, but he wasn't the same Shaq as we know him in LA. But
yeah,
against the Pistons, D. Wade put up 26, 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I mean, 2 steals, a block and a half, shooting 62% from the field.
I think you think that I don't respect what D-Wade's been able to accomplish.
It's not that. What I'm saying is, even if we exclude James Harden from the Warriors series, this year's Utah Jazz series, he didn't play great. Like you said, with the Timberwolves series, he played passable, but it wasn't all that great either. Then you go back to the season before when they played the San Antonio Spurs, and he ended up losing to the Spurs, despite the fact that Kawhi missed Game 6 and James Harden just didn't show up to push it to a Game 7. Then we go back to 2015 when they were down 3-1 or whatever, and James Harden was on the bench when they came back against the Clippers. It's not just one season. It's not just one moment. James Harden, for sure. If you just look at his career in the postseason, for someone, and let's be very mindful as well, for someone who doesn't play defense or at least doesn't play defense at an elite level, but for the most part of his career, he's been labeled as someone who just doesn't give enough effort on a defensive end, someone who turns the ball over at a historic rate. James Harden, in his time in Houston, 28 points scored, that's great. but he's shooting 41% from the field and 31% from behind the arc. And so if I'm not getting defense, I'm not getting you taking care of the ball either, and you're there to score, and you're not even scoring efficiently, this is not a knock on James Harden, just putting things in context. Until the day comes where at bare minimum he can play to the status of just a great player. It doesn't even have to be an MVP status. Until the day he's able to consistently play at a great status, I just there's no way he would have to have ridiculous on regular season success from
the overlook. That's why I said give him time. That's why I said give him 5 years, Lo. 5 years, and this is assuming. I understand that, but he's in the middle of his prime right now. So let his prime play out. We've seen LeBron, and you could argue LeBron is still in his prime the way he's playing. But we've seen Dwayne Wade go through and pass his prime.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but D-Wade, just to put things in context, D-Wade went to the finals, won a championship, and beat the Pistons in the process and outperformed Dirk in the finals. He did all of that in his third year. I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Give him some time. D-Wade, 3 years into his career, was already playing at a point where you could easily
argue. That's not an apples-to-apples comparison, because 3 years into Harden's career, he was still struggling for minutes in OKC, right?
In James Harden's fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year, he wasn't struggling for minutes. He was leading that Houston Rockets team.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, is he was able to blossom into his own player, and every year we've seen him make a step, whether it was last year when he was running point guard. I know he was turning the ball over a lot, but his numbers were fantastic, and he was leading a team at the point guard spot, which nobody expected to be successful. And then we saw him move back to shooting guard, and we thought, how is it going to work with Chris Paul? They have two people who handle the ball. Is it going to work? And then he found a way to make that work and adjust with that. And then not only get first in the Western Conference, but be oh so close to eliminating the best team in NBA history. Led by James Harden.
It was led by Chris Paul.
If you don't think... Difference. I don't think you think he'll get over the hump. I know he'll get over it eventually. I think he's a good enough player.
I hope he gets over the hump. But when I see him perform, I see the numbers he posts up, I see the results of those numbers, no, I don't think he's going to get over the hump. Because, some point you would have to acknowledge him.
So if he gets a championship, let's say next year he beats Golden State. And then obviously he's going to beat whoever's coming from the Eastern Conference, wins a championship. And that's all he's able to accomplish. Let's say for the rest of his career he does not get any more championships. Let's say that he does well in the postseason. Maybe he makes it to one or two more NBA finals, but loses
else. So you're saying, okay, 2 to 3 NBA finals, more than likely has to beat the Warriors at least twice to get to the finals.
Yes.
Let's say that hypothetically speaking, LeBron isn't on his team as he does this as well.
Yep.
If he were to do that, then yeah, he would be better than Wade. Those are so big ifs, though. I would actually bet against it.
That's not that crazy.
No, that is crazy.
Let's put this in perspective, that is very crazy. If James Harden and the Houston Rockets were in the Eastern Conference, let me pull up a map. See, I'm from Canada. I just need a little help from Google Maps here. Give me a second, Lo.
Oh, my God.
Let me pull up maps. Because if I zoom out, I swear up and down, I'm pretty sure Houston's in the fucking eastern quadrant. Eastern side of the United States. Let me pull this up. It is. If you pull up a huge map, actually not. If you count Maine, then you might. But ain't no team in Maine, all right? The furthest team east might be like Boston, I think, or something like that. To say this. If Houston was, for whatever reason, switched to the Eastern Conference, or they abolished conferences, right? Let's not get to abolish. Let's say Houston gets switched to the Eastern Conference. Whoa, that's crazy. Houston is making... Let's say this happened, Lo, 3 years ago. Houston would have made the NBA Finals 3 years in a row. And so why does that change?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I completely disagree.
He would have. No. He would have made the finals 3 years in a row. I don't understand why that changes his quote-unquote legacy. He would have beat that team. He would have beat that team before Chris Paul got there. He would have beat him when Chris Paul got there.
I'm sincerely asking this. What have you seen from James Harden that makes you believe that he could do that?
Look, how much time has he got to make it to the conference finals and lose to the best team in NBA history?
Agent, if in the second round against the Utah Jazz, if he's posting up, he's shooting 40% from the field and 29% from behind the arc.
Okay, but right now I'm not talking exclusively about efficiency or effect.
He turns the ball over. He turned the ball over 3 to 4 times. Chris,
I get it.
Huh?
I understand. I understand all of that. I'm talking about the team right now. Does not focus on James Harden.
That team isn't good enough to beat a LeBron and Kyrie led team.
Yes.
No, it's not. It's not, Agent.
It would have beat that team the last 3 years, Lo.
No, they would not have.
I don't understand why that would change his legacy or where he ranks all time compared to other shooting guards or other players in general. The NBA Finals, Lo, is you have to be the best in your conference. Now, sometimes the top 2 and 3 best teams just happen to be in one conference, which makes the lives of other people a lot more challenging.
So in 2017, when they lost to the Spurs, why did they lose to the Spurs, Agent?
What kind of question is that, Lo? There's a lot of factors why any team would lose.
But when they don't have Kawhi,
you're missing the point, Lo. I'm not trying to lie here. I understand James Harden, especially over the course of his career, has had a very spotty record in the playoffs. Especially if you look at his ability to lead a team, efficiency, and what we could only describe mildly as chokes. They've been massive chokes of monumental proportions in many of occasions. We understand that, all right? Have we established that?
Lo. Yeah, I hear you. I'm still here now. I'm listening to you.
I want to make sure you're with me here. All right. Now you move that team to the Eastern Conference where they no longer have to deal with, and you're talking about a team like the Spurs who's had playoff success over the last, ever since I was born. I was born in 96. So I've never seen that team in my existence perform poorly. They've always just been a 50-win team, whether they're shooting for the NBA Finals and winning a championship, or whether they fall just short, or whether Zaza Pachulia is taking out your best player, right? And so I'm saying when you transport that team to the East, how does that automatically make his legacy better? Because you could check off NBA Finals appearance here, NBA, even if he loses, right? Even if he loses, this is what LeBron fans do. They just, he made the finals. There we go. That's a check on his legacy. He's obviously better than Jordan. Well, what do you expect? You expect LeBron to beat the best team in NBA history by himself? And so people just give him a pat on the back and a check mark on his artificial, hypothetical checklist that cements his legacy as a quote-unquote GOAT. But I don't get it. It's a vanity metric. The NBA Finals doesn't mean anything as long as conferences, well, it does mean something, but it doesn't mean all that people are giving it praise for. As long as conferences still exist, there's no true metric, because the two best teams will not, like, if the two teams, do you see what I'm trying to, you don't need to
know,
see,
I,
you
I, explain I, this I to you. I see what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, and even putting it into better context, James Harden has lost to the Warriors, if I'm not mistaken, 3 out of the last 4 years. So I get what you're saying, and you're right. No one doesn't go through.
And the other team was the Spurs, yeah?
Yeah, and then the other year was the Spurs. No one doesn't go through James, but the problem with the Spurs though is that Kawhi wasn't there. And that's the big, Kawhi wasn't in the last game, and James Harden still underperformed. And that's the biggest difference there, is that if.
I think I'm just more optimistic about that team than you, Lo. I don't know.
I'm not optimistic about that team because Chris Paul may not be there. If they get LeBron on that team, then it may take away a little bit from what James Harden does. And I still...
Can you imagine Chris Paul leaves, though?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Yep.
I can't. Because what's Chris Paul want more than anything right now? Is to make it to the fucking NBA Finals, win a
but
championship.
But if I'm Chris Paul and I'm not getting paid max money by the Rockets, because apparently there was a wink-wink, you know, type of deal, and the deal goes sour, apparently, and I can go somewhere else and get the same amount of money, why would I not say, yo, LeBron, where are you going? Let me figure out what's going on and go over there and go get the money. That's all I'm saying. But even if, let's say, hypothetically, Chris Paul still stays, which isn't that crazy of a hypothetical. Even if he stays, I still don't see how they're making the finals because...
Not me neither. Okay, I agree with you on that.
James Harden would have to... James Harden would have to play at an elite level to the standard that we see him in the regular season. And
I don't even think that'd do it, Lo. I think the Warriors underperformed this year. And
I think you can catch the, but I think you can catch the Warriors slipping again. But even like you can say you caught the Warriors slipping this year because he did. There was still never really a moment throughout the entire Warriors series outside of game one where I thought to myself, wow, James Harden, he is doing it right now. Like he's He is really putting the team on his back. He's coming down, making the tough shots, making the right decisions.
Your favorite player did the same thing, Lo. What James Harden is doing right now, maybe minus the playoff success, is exactly what Kobe did. If we're speaking specifically about efficiency, this is exactly what Kobe did. He had the green light. He took ridiculous shots. As horrible as it looked, contested as it might have been, as inefficient in some games as he was, he had the green light.
Nope. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this Kobe slander, because when Kobe was let me break it down. When Kobe was on a valid team, when I say valid team, when they added Pau Gasol for the first year, in the first round of playoffs against the Denver Nuggets, a 50-win team, coming off of a Defensive Player of the Year season, Marcus Camby was on that roster, along with a lot of other solid defensive teams. Mind you, I think that team was top 10 in defensive rating. Kobe shot 50% from the field that playoff series while scoring 33 points. Then moving on to the next series against the Utah Jazz, Kobe Bryant he shot 49%.
First of all, how the fuck do you memorize all this shit?
Kobe shot 49% from the field. And then in the final series.
You had a website up?
And then in the final series against the San Antonio Spurs, after they just got done winning a championship, Kobe shot 53% from the field. All of which he's putting up 29 to 30 points on a night-to-night basis. This is no shot at Pau Gasol, but I love how people say that Pau Gasol was carrying Kobe, or he was like the difference maker.
I've never heard anyone make that argument. Pau Gasol
in 2008 against the San Antonio Spurs, we're talking about a 13-point scorer giving you 10 boards on 44% shooting from the field. Don't ever in your life, there may be moments in Kobe's career, games, hell, even the 2004 finals, I'll give you that as well. But there was never really a moment in the postseason leading up to the final when he had to go through borderline 50-win team every single year just to make it to the finals in 2008, 9, and 10. There was never a moment in the Western Conference playoffs where Kobe was as inefficient throughout an entire series and a postseason run as Westbrook has been the last 3 to 4 years.
Westbrook? I mean, what are you doing right now?
As much as Harden has been.
I mean, you're not wrong about Westbrook, right? But.
as much as Harden has been over the last 3 or 4 years. And also, again, I want to be clear about this because you have to put this in context. Mind you, Kobe's still giving you elite level defense. Harden isn't. Matter of fact, there's some years where Harden sleeping on a defensive end. Kobe is not turning the ball over 4 to 5 times on a consistent basis. That's what Harden does. And on top of that, Kobe wasn't on it. I mean, yeah, I guess you can compare Powell to where Chris Paul is right now. Okay, you can say that. But I understand what you're saying, Agent. I get it. Kobe might have been.
You're arguing all this random stuff. I said specifically about efficiency.
If you're looking at efficiency,
talking about turnovers, what year, and competition.
Please explain to me what season, especially when Kobe was in his prime, in the postseason, where Kobe shot below 40%. Please, I want to hear it.
I mean, I'm not talking about. Listen, I'm not going to pull up websites and get into advanced stats because that would take too long and you hear my keyboard clickety clack and this shit is loud as fuck. What I'm saying is there was games where Kobe shot horribly.
You're not talking about games. I'm talking about series.
Let's be clear,
though. Series.
James Harden had no excuse for shooting bad in the Timberwolves series. Point blank, that team's not even good defensively. And on top of Cat, Andrew Wiggins, all they really had good defensively, you could say Jeff Teague's a good defender, and of course, Jimmy Butler.
And Jimmy Butler was rushed back to the court. He wasn't even 100%.
Yeah, so he was not 100%, that's true. There's no reason for that. Up against the Utah Jazz, probably the best defensive team in the league.
There's still no excuse.
You could throw the Celtics in that mix. You could throw the Pelicans in that mix if you want.
There's no excuse.
But that's a tough. So if you have a couple off games against the Jazz, people understand. But it wasn't just a couple off games. I think it was more than that. Still, they're able to make it past that series, although that's what people expect.
They're able to make it past that series because Chris Paul averaged 25, 7, and 6 on 48% shooting from the field and 44% shooting from behind the arc. So it's hard for James Harden to be efficient, but his own teammate, who has been practically efficient his entire career, can be efficient?
But I think you're missing the point. Here's what I'm trying to say about James Harden. Is I think that what he does for the team is more than just what shows up in the surface level statistics, where you can look and be like, hey, he shot 41% over the course of the playoffs. Ugh, he played horribly. But when you watch the game and how he plays, first of all, I don't like the style they play. I think at times it can be exciting when the shot is dropping. ISO, 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 ISO all the time. It's just, can you beat your guy on ISO? Run a pick and roll with Capella, try and get a switch, ISO. More ISO and ISO. It's not a very intriguing play style to watch, especially when you start to break your shots and it gets dry, for sure, we understand. But it's what helped them win. And even though Golden State didn't perform that well, especially in the conference finals, you can make an argument that the way they played just almost barely beat them out. And so, if you make improvements, like adding a LeBron, and you get, by the way, another ISO-heavy player on an already ISO-heavy team, that might change things. You could say whatever, whatever. All right. One. Two. James Harden, low. I'm optimistic we'll turn it around. I also think I wasn't in the past when he was with the Clippers. I also think Chris Paul will eventually get over the hump. They're just too good of players to Eve, regardless of who they're playing, right? We know Golden State's a fantastic team. I think at some point, their career will turn around and they'll start to make the push. Now, what I meant to say before I got cut off was, unlike Dwayne Wade, like Kobe, and even like LeBron, James Harden doesn't have that touch, right? When it's the final shot and the time is at 3 seconds, you could trust Kobe with the ball. You could trust Wade with the ball. You could trust LeBron with. There's plenty of all-time players you could trust with the ball. I don't know if I would trust James Harden with the ball because he hasn't proved to me that he can win no matter what. And I get that. That was an argument you're trying to make with Kobe, that no matter what he had going with him, he just found ways to win all the time, and he was playing fantastic teams throughout his whole career. I don't know how we got this deep into a James Harden argument,
though. I mean, because I really just want to know where you rank. You know, I like picking your brain, man. Jeez, ain't it?
I think
people want to hear you talk like this too, man. People hit me up in my DM saying like, "Yo, man, let force agent to talk about something else besides Toronto." And I'm like, "All right, I'll see what I can do." I haven't
brought them up. Actually, I did bring him up.
I'm about to say stop, Dwayne Casey.
But anyway, but there's Dwayne Casey. He had to bring him up. He just got fired from. Regardless, I think he will be better than Wade after the end of his career, which says a lot. Wade had a fantastic career. Lo, who had a better playoffs, all right? This is where we see if you're biased. Wade or Harden this year?
Well, Wade is a bench player coming. I mean, come on, we can't. That's silly.
I just want to hear it from you.
Okay. James Harden in his prime played better in the playoffs than 30.
I just want to know that you're capable of even Wade. Spitting out that sentence.
Oh, that's not impressive enough. The one thing that holds Wade's back, though, and this is probably where Harden can definitely catch up, is if Harden can go out there, if he can go out there and be just a consistently great player for a longer period of time than Wade was because of injuries. Because I want to say after that last year when LeBron was in Miami was kind of tough for Wade. And I mean, I know a lot of people saying, well, he was on, you know, he had been in the finals so many years and he put a lot of, you know, wear and tear on his legs and stuff like that, which is fine. I get that. But it's really hard to kind of look at Wade the same way, knowing that at age, you know, 30, 31, 32, like he was already done and out of his prime. And even when LeBron was gone, he just wasn't the same player. So it's kind of hard to look at Wade in those respects, and that's what really holds him back, because many people make an argument, if you're just looking at prime and talent, Wade is up there with some of the elite-level players in NBA history. It's the lack of him being a consistent player over an extended period of time, the longevity, because even after his third year in the NBA, Wade started missing, you know, 20 games pretty regularly throughout his career, and then it just became a consistent
player. A lot of that wasn't due to injury, it was just rest.
No, I'm talking about after 06 and 07, he missed 20 games. Like, him still being fairly young, 25, 26 years old, missing 20-plus games on a season basis, almost 30 games. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of hurts him as well. But, again, the whole injury part and him not being consistently out there. But I know people are going to ask me this, just to kind of give the answer out there. James Harden, fifth greatest shooting guard of all time. If he played great in one postseason run, just give me one postseason run.
Just one?
Just give me one. I'll put him over Clyde Drexler. Jeez. But for him to be over Wade, Kobe, he's not going to be over Kobe.
What would it take for Wade?
He's not going to be over Kobe. I mean, let's just keep it a buck.
Yeah, he won't.
He doesn't even have to, in my opinion, win a championship to be over Wade, because we all understand the situation that he's in the Western Conference against that Warriors team. he just has to play great. Like, he... I can't...
I agree with you on that. He's definitely not playing like Noah. Yeah, he's not even playing like a... Let's name the players that played better than him in the playoffs. Klay Thompson,
I think Kevin Durant. Anthony Davis, KD, Curry.
Uh-huh.
I would borderline even say, especially in that first round, Drew Holiday showed up bigger.
I would also agree with that.
Showed up bigger than James Harden did. And they just so happened to play the Warriors in the second round, even though I understand they pushed them to seven games still, though. LeBron, obviously.
Donovan Mitchell, I think, right?
He was
a lot more efficient.
A little shaky there. Westbrook, right? Let me chill out.
Definitely not. We would put LeBron in that category for sure.
Yeah. I know the MVP is a regular season award, people, but I just can't. And we kind of really talking about his whole career now. You went in an MVP and you're not even one of the top five performers in the postseason. That's kind of, I mean, even Giannis and Chris Middleton played great in that first round. It's kind of hard.
But I don't think that was enough of a sample size.
It was a good little seven game, you know what I'm saying? It was a good little seven game going on.
If you didn't make it out the first round, I don't think you qualified to be in this conversation. All right,
good. I ain't gonna lie. Chris Middleton, though. Chris Middleton was almost shooting 60-60. 70-something.
Yeah, he was on point.
He was out there, you know what I'm saying, giving it to the Celtics. They borderline beat the goddamn Celtics. But, yeah, I mean, again, shout out to James Harden. Just a great year as a whole. But I got to see something in the postseason.
Yeah, I finally agree with you on something.
Yeah, I got to see something in the postseason.
Okay.
What's up? What you got for me?
So, Lo, I want to ask you. I know you saw it. You definitely saw it. But I don't know if everybody saw it. And it was probably the most hilarious thing. I was playing Fortnite with Vortex. And he was reading it to me, and I was just saying, it was literally the most hilarious thing. So, Richard Jefferson, you see where I'm going with this. Apparently, paparazzi have been stopping him, his family, his children, and asking them if they know where LeBron is going to go next year. These paparazzi have no bounds. Nothing is going to stop them from getting a hint, a whisper, some sort of secret. So this is what Richard Jefferson said, and quote, "It is with great remorse that I'm writing this. After many years as a peer and many years as a friend and a teammate, I have decided to end my friendship with LeBron James. I'm saying this publicly so that the fans, the media, can please stop asking me where he's going in free agency. I don't know. My family doesn't know, and neither do my kids. Unfortunately, I live in Los Angeles, so the questions are unavoidable, but hopefully this helps clear things up. Truth be told, I never liked the guy. He works too hard and makes the rest of us look bad. He's my son's favorite player, and I view that as a complete betrayal of how hard I've worked to put a roof over his head. I'm sorry. I'm having to give this Drake response, but I feel like this is the best way to address an issue that I'm clearly losing also. I wish everyone the best of luck in free agency, teams, players. Oh, and to Channing Frye also. Just because." So he put out this almost like satirical joke, which, by the way, you'd be surprised how many people were like, "Man, fuck Richard Jefferson." They couldn't pick up on the fact that it was a joke. Who are these people that are growing up without a sense of humor? Or just some sort of like heartbeat sensor as to what sarcasm looks like. If you can't spot a joke when you see it, man, go back to school
before posting your next tweet. I know you're not going to say growing up without a sense of humor.
Unbelievable. Some people were mad at him, Lo. Like, have you never laughed in your life? That's the
craziest thing I've ever heard you say, growing up without a sense of humor.
Anyway, I thought it was hilarious. Obviously, everybody's trying to get the scoop on LeBron. Stopping someone's kids and asking the question is probably a weird conversation to have with your kids. Even if Richard Jefferson knew, what do you think about LeBron's decision to go to the Houston Rockets next year, kids? And then why would you dispose? If LeBron told me a secret like that, listen, I'm not telling nobody, let alone my kids. As a kid, I was out there, what's the word I'm looking for? It was like 90210, man. I was hearing whispers, telling whispers. It was like a, it's not an information you give your kids.
Why would you tell, not just LeBron kids, why would anybody tell another player's kids about what another man is doing? Like, a serious life decision. Why would that ever get to a point? I don't know, but. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't get the whole point. And people are always trying to figure where LeBron is going to go. I mean, at this point, I've I've kind of just accepted the fact that we're probably not going to know. Which, as a side note, I think I understand why LeBron does it, but I would go as far as saying it may end up hurting him in the long run. Like him not.
Why is that?
Because it may. I'm not saying that he's going to stay on the Cavs or anything like that. But if he wanted to hypothetically stay on the Cavs, right? Which I don't think is also that far fetched either. But if he were to stay on the Cavs, him not being transparent with them or him not allowing them to understand what needs to be done if he does decide to stay and how they can kind of recoup and get the players that they need and do the trades, like they can't. Him on July 4th or July 5th or 6th saying, yeah, I'm going to stay with the Cavs, you've already wasted three to four prime days of the free agency, and it puts his team in a situation to where it just makes it harder for them to make the moves that they need to make. Because I think for them to keep LeBron, they're going to have to trade Kevin Love. And them doing that, it's kind of hard for them to do that without everyone understanding what LeBron is going to do, because I think the way they can trade Kevin Love is do a sign and trade with Paul George if he wants to go there. But all of that, no one doesn't necessarily know the outcome of that until LeBron says where he wants to go. And so I understand to keep your options open. And, you know, he may not have sat down and thought about it too much, but him at the last minute changing teams and the team that he goes to may not be like ready all the way and haven't really thought about everything, and everybody's just game playing at the last minute. I think that ends up hurting him in a lot of respects. But you know, I think I've said this before as well, and I'll say it again, as crazy as it sounds, if he gives the Cavaliers enough time, I think that might end up being the best place. That may end up being the right place for him, and he may end up staying in Cleveland. I know that sounds crazy, people, but If he gives them enough time, trade Kevin Love, bring in PG, and maybe he'll do a little bit more finagling here and there, have a lineup with George Hill, if Rodney Hood can get his stuff together, Rodney Hood at the 2, PG at the 3, LeBron at the 4, and Tristan Thompson at the 5. Coming off the bench, you got Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, Jeff Green. That's a pretty good lineup.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
It would lose in the finals anyway.
All right, then. All right. But where does he... probably so. But where does he go?
Because, no, definitely.
Okay. All right. But where does he go? Because if he goes to Houston...
He's going to Houston, or he's staying where he's at. There was a rumor that... Agent, not even a rumor. I don't know why I'm bugging.
He going to L.A. He going to L.A. Chill out, agent. Chill.
Stop, man. This is the L.A. fan. He's about to actually, be... you're not even a fan.
Chill out. No. You're right. I'm a fan. He about to go play with Lonzo.
Hello.
What, man?
Listen.
He about to get listen coached. Carefully. He about to be coached by LeVar, man. Chill out, man. He about to go
play... By who?
By LeVar. He's about to go play with totally, Lonzo. Man. They're going to get Jello. Yeah. They're going to get LiAngelo, man. Everybody sure, going to be sure. on the same team with one another.
We're going to ship out
Ingram. Forget Randall. Bring in Kuzma. Got to stay, though. But I see the rumors about Kuzma leaving. If Kawhi doesn't come this year, he going to come next year. PZ going to come too, man. We already know how this is about to go down, agent.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Boogie taking a pay cut. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure, man. Pay cuts. That's happening.
He's coming off an Achilles tear, bro. He's going to have to take a pay cut regardless, bro. He's going to take that pay cut.
All right, man. I believe you, Lo. I believe you.
I believe in magic. Right.
In other news, Lo, Adam Silver got a contract extension for 5 years.
Man, forget Adam Silver, bro. Adam Silver might be overrated commissioner.
No, trust me. After... what was his name? David Stern. Adam Silver is a heck of a lot better.
No, he's not.
Adam Silver's salary.
No, he's not.
You don't think Adam Silver's better?
No.
What? Low.
What?
No. Okay, do not Google it. We're going to play a guessing game. All right?
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay.
So, how much do you think Adam Silver... I mean, okay, let's start with this. How much do you think David Stern was making in the last 5 years as commissioner?
On a year-to-year basis?
Yes.
$8 million.
$20 fucking million. Low.
Oh, wow.
He was making He was making more than a massive majority of the NBA players. Okay, so how much do you think Adam Silver is making
per year right now? Adam Silver got to be making 40.
No.
35?
No, actually, it's 10 million per year.
What?
I guess because he's a new commissioner. I don't know what the new deal he struck was, and I doubt we'll hear the... Actually, it'd be cool if they did give us the specifics about it. Actually, let me Google that right now to try and find out. That's kind of odd. I had no idea they got paid that much, though. Because I know the commissioner of the NCAA, like the guys, the head honchos, they get criticized for making like $1 or $2 million a year. Just because the athletes don't make any money.
I'm going to say, that's the real reason why the athletes don't make no money.
So, you think that, in my head, I was like, maybe $4 million, $5 million? But never did it occur to me that David Stern was making $20 million a year.
That's the reason why David Stern is a better GM. He already knew how to get that bag. Yo,
but that's seniority, right? So I think
it's David Stern. That's what it is. Yo, David Stern, he's a better commissioner. Let's cut the cap. David Stern.
Why would you say that? What would lead you to believe that? After all,
David Stern made the right decisions to make the NBA as great as it is today. I mean, Adam Silver, what has he done? He changed.
Okay, so you're being satirical.
No, I'm not. I'm being dead serious. He made the right decisions to make the NBA where it's at today. Save the NBA.
It's not just him, though. You're missing the point.
Who is it then?
You're crediting him with all the business successes of the NBA.
Okay. So who else is it?
There's no other employees that work in the front office. What you tell me?
So what is Adam?
No other executives making millions of dollars a year.
So what has Adam Silver done then to make him better?
I mean, I'm not making an argument. He did. I just think that when we look at David Stern, I think a lot of what people remember is those like ridiculously, racist policies he implemented. We saw his very like when he was giving people. Is the word punishments when he was the consequences? We're never consistent, man. Somebody would get a suspension for doing something light and it'd be like 20 games. Then somebody would do the most fucked up thing ever and get like 10 games. And so just like what we see with Goodell in the NFL, there's never any consistency when it came to dealing out arbitrary consequences to athletes. It was never an objective measure, and that was always frustrating.
Look, man.
He was silencing players left and right. Like what we see now in the NBA is...
As he should. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, Adam Silver, as much as people really don't like him, that man saved the NBA 2 times. And he understood what needed to be done, what needed to be said, and he ruled with an iron fist.
Adam Silver, you said?
I mean, David Stern.
Okay, no, I was with that. Wasn't Adam Silver dealing with that, who's that Clippers owner, the racist guy that didn't like Magic Johnson? You remember that? Okay, let's just pretend we know his name.
What is his name, though? Hold on.
Okay, his name is not relevant. I'm pretty sure Adam Silver just became that year the commissioner
when that was popping off. So explain to me how that's a tough decision. What was Adam Silver supposed to do?
I'm just saying, I get that he really nothing huge happened. The guy got a chance to sell his team. He didn't lose anything.
What did he do?
Okay. That's true. We could agree on that.
Donald Sterling. What did Adam Silver do to Donald Sterling that wasn't obvious?
I think he diffused the situation successfully. Because players were at the point where they were saying they don't even know if they could play on the team. Like, that was a Chris Paul saying, like, I don't feel right playing under this guy when he feels that type of way towards black people. And so the first thing he did, the first major controversy the NBA was dealing with, we saw him deal with it in this way. Do you see what the NFL just did to the players with Roger Goodell? They said that the players cannot kneel no more, or they will be fined, and the team will also be fined, but what they can do is stay in the locker room. So basically, what he's siding with the people, like, what they're doing is they're protesting some fucked up shit. And he's saying that they can no longer even express themselves in the only way they know how, on the football field. They actually have to just stay in the locker room. Which I guess is a statement in and of itself, but it's not the same. When the cameras are on and they're broadcast. So I'm just saying, like, that situation's a lose-lose. Because the people that believe they shouldn't be kneeling are pissed off. But they shouldn't. They need to respect the anthem and the flag. And then the athletes are like, yo, this is how I feel. I should be able to express myself. Especially because it's really, they're not even doing it for money. They're doing it because there's people dying for reasons they shouldn't be dying for. And so they feel like they should use their platform and do something about it. So it's already a messed up situation. And the way it was handled was very sloppy. And so I think, in my opinion, that's an example of a commissioner that, first of all, a lot of people hate. Second of all, a lot of people could agree is not doing his job correctly, or at least to the best of his ability. I think there's somebody else who could do it better. We haven't had an issue like that with Adam Silver yet. I think he's just playing around, to be honest.
Well, I mean, A, you're not going to get a word out of me saying that Goodell was is a good commissioner.
B, okay, I would hope so. Yeah,
B, I'm dead serious that not only was David Stern a great commissioner, up until this moment, he is still better than Adam Silver. Maybe you don't thoroughly understand what David Stern did for the league.
No, I understand. But here's what you're doing it again, Lo. Stop crediting him with all the successful business decisions made by the NBA. All right, stop it.
You brought up Donald Sterling. Adam Silver is not the one who decided to get rid of Donald Sterling. They had to vote him out. So you bringing up Donald Sterling doesn't really justify anything he's done either. However, what I can say, though, is that out of the things that happened, and I understand other people had input, but where the NBA was when I'm drawing a blank here.
You can do it again.
Well, I know. I was just about to say Adam Silver. Where the NBA was when David Stern picked it up.
I know what you're going to... I get it. It came a long way.
I'm
going
to say to where we are, to where it was at when he left.
Okay.
And I'm not... This is not a knock on Adam Silver.
Fantastic. He's a great businessman. Maybe a fantastic executive. But that doesn't make him a great face of the NBA. That's what the commissioner is. A face,
he was he was an amazing face of the NBA. I think you're bugging right now.
Then why was he so widely hated, Lo? Out of curiosity. Do you know why?
He was widely hated by who?
By everybody.
By who?
You pull up to the draft, they're booing him wildly. No mild boo. They're not getting a couple boos. Everybody in unison knows it's time to boo.
New York Knicks fans, they boo regardless. I mean, I'm not really concerned about that. Look, all I'm saying is this. Look, if you look at what happened in the NBA, we're talking about crackheads were playing on the court. They're just playing. Crackheads are on the court playing basketball. We're talking about delayed finals games, not regular games, tape delay on the finals game. We're talking about there was no overseas play. We're talking about a league that didn't have, I think they had like 10
Okay, so what did he teams. Do specifically to help everything overcome those issues?
He put in a very strict drug policy that was
not... No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, don't do that.
Yes,
the
he
NBA's
did.
Drug policy is one of the least strict of any professional sport I've ever seen.
You're talking about, when I say drugs, I'm not talking about steroids. I'm talking about crack agent. That's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't matter. I'm saying, do you know what the drug policy is in the NBA? Have you ever read the CBA, Lo?
Do you know the drug policy was before David Stern got into the NBA?
I understand. No, listen, I get what you're saying. But the NBA does not even remotely have a strict drug policy. Players just recognize they can't smoke crack and play a game the next day is what they had to recognize. Now, it still happens. I'm sure there's at least a dozen NBA players who at least regularly on parties do recreational drugs like that.
When they were found guilty, it wasn't we're gonna figure out how we're gonna deal. No, it was you out of the league.
It was you out of the league. They were banned. I think there was like a warning system too, so they get a second chance.
No, it wasn't like no that. Warning system. When David Stern stepped, there was a warning system prior to that. When David Stern stepped in, there was no warning system. You were out of the league. You were out. It was done. There was it was done. David Stern implemented the salary cap. Before David Stern entered the NBA, there was no salary cap. David Stern is the one, he's the reason why the NBA has expanded to 30 teams because, I mean, not he himself, but he's definitely pushed for expansion amongst the league. He's definitely pushed for expansion outside of the NBA.
Okay.
Now, there's certain things that he's definitely done, such as remove the high school to the NBA rule, which, in my opinion, I don't necessarily think it's that big of a deal. But anyway, he's also in the early 2000s, how strict he was on a dress code, which was also, I understand why people are upset about that. But if you got a league, and also he changed, I mean, because he was still dealing with a league where people were just fighting on the court to the point where you got people jumping into the stands, everybody just running wild. What is David, like, people are upset okay. David Stern, well, I get that.
You made me Google specifics, Lo, just because I got curious. Go ahead, go. Because I know for a fact that they have an incredibly lenient drug. Lo, there is a report saying that less than 3% of NBA athletes use marijuana. We know this. We know it's false. We don't need to sit here and pretend like that's a true fact. That what that really means is 3% got caught. There's plenty that use it, no doubt. Okay, so check this out. In the 2000s, David Stern implemented a new policy. And that new policy was interesting because, Lo, what you said was just incorrect. They had a 3-strike policy with players. And after the third strike, there was a fine. In the 2000s.
What I'm referring to, Agent, is in the late 80s.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is throughout his tenure.
That's when he started his tenure in the 80s. Agent, what are you talking about?
So I think that one of the best decisions David Stern made was going and in the offseason playing games in China. And recently they even started to play games in England. And I think that did a lot. And so, like, people like Kobe grew international praise because you get the Chinese market involved. That's in, like, they got 1 billion people there, Lo. There's so much potential. And so you go there. And by the way, this was very new. This is like a foreign concept at the time. And he decided to do it. And there was no proof that it'd work out. And now that we see that the NBA basketball is one of the most, it's actually the second most international sport in the world after soccer. I think rugby comes close after that or something. I forgot what the rankings were. But now the NHL is trying to run games in China. Did you know that? The NFL is trying to do games in the UK. Every pro sport team is recognizing that they can popularize the product, which is their sport, whether it's football, soccer, or if you call soccer football, basketball, by going to other countries and presenting them. Just check this out. Show up in Ethiopia and play a game of basketball. And it inspires everybody watching there that, yo, this game, this sport is fantastic. This is, and then bring Kobe there, right? A very popular athlete. Bring LeBron there. Bring Shaquille O'Neal there. Well, when I went to Ethiopia when I was like 11, my guy, they didn't know much about basketball there. I mean, they had hoops and stuff there, but they didn't follow the NBA much. But here's what they knew. They knew Shaq. They knew Kobe. And they knew the people at the time that were at the very top. And so I'll give David Stern that, is that he helped internationalize basketball. And thus, I mean, the greatest league in basketball is the NBA. And so the NBA seen significant growth from people outside of North America. So there's that. I think that was probably his biggest achievement, and it's definitely no small one. And so Adam Silver is going to pick up where David Stern left off and continue to grow. But I'm just saying, in terms of being the face of a league, David Stern has made so many bad, controversial decisions over the years that I think Adam Silver maybe hasn't had a chance to step in that mud yet. Maybe he hasn't had to deal with all the conflicts because he's only been there for what now? How long has it been? Like 6-7 years?
Yeah, something like that.
So I guess maybe we give Adam Silver more time. But don't pretend like David Stern was this fantastic
commissioner. He was, though.
That...
He was again, like I said, I mean, I understand what you're saying about the drug policy, but I'm talking about where the NBA was in the beginning when it was dealing with all, like, massive, not weed or not like that. I'm talking like legit drugs. David Stern stepped in and implemented a drug policy to end up getting rid of a substantial amount of players, like, not just some scrubby-dubby players, like, solid players. Matter of fact, I can't remember what draft class it is. I think it was late. I can't remember which one it is. But it's like almost like a whole draft class that they damn near got rid of because of that rule and stuff like that. Also, again, salary cap. Salary cap didn't exist before David Stern got there. We're talking about a league where, again, they had tape delay. David Stern opened up the NBA to multiple TV networks. To the point, and I understand overseas market, I get that, but to the point where, again, before he got to the NBA, we're talking about pivotal NBA finals games were on tape delay. He opened up the entire league to a whole nother market when it comes to the TV market and things of that nature. Expanding the league to 30 teams, making sure that everyone understood that, and I get people upset about the whole dress code thing and stuff like that, but he had an image to uphold to a public of people that quite frankly just didn't understand a
what large is that image port. What is that image?
The image was not having people fighting on the basketball court in the middle of a game. That's what that image
why
was.
Is that low out of curiosity, did you watch the game England versus what team were they playing? They were playing Panama. Did you watch it? Panama was so mad they were down 5-0 at the half. They were just fucking flinging England players left and right. They were actually pushing players, pulling players, tackling players. They were getting carded.
I get that point, but David Stern cannot change the fact that there are racist people in America.
Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
He can't change the fact that the perception of what a black man does.
No, but that's not the audience you should be trying to appeal to. That's the point.
No, it's the masses, regardless of how you want to cut it or slice it. Masses.
Do you want to put forward a professional face so you can make the game more appealing to a broader audience? But that wasn't professionalism he was going after. He was trying to eliminate the NBA's quote unquote culture using a string of very strict policies that was not even remotely warranted. Or didn't add anything to the game. It just restricted the freedom of the players.
It didn't take away anything from the game either. Someone coming to a game in blue jeans versus a suit and tie does not change anything of the game whatsoever. I know people get all excited now about what Russell Westbrook is wearing to the court. He still is inefficient playing basketball. Point blank, period. That does not change not a thing. The way that
the NBA culture.
I don't care about no NBA culture off the court. If you're talking about a commissioner who is trying to bring in money, because that is what the commissioner's job is to do.
But here's the thing.
He did. I'm not saying those policies weren't instrumental
in the growth of the NBA.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
They were literally losing brand deals because of the way that the entire world, especially in the United States, were perceiving people. I'm trying to figure out where exactly this excerpt is at. But there's an excerpt where he's explaining why he had to make that decision. It's not like, and we're at a point now where people don't really care anymore about it because we've grown as a society. But if you're talking about a league where people are constantly fighting and then you have off the court issues that are spilling over into the court and you're it happens at the extent to right now, and even where it doesn't happen to the same level right now. I know it doesn't.
We had KG and Carmelo with the beef. We see Patrick Beverly with beef.
You're talking about verbal beefs, and I'm talking about Gilbert Arenas bringing a gun into a locker room.
That was a prank. That wasn't a beef.
It doesn't matter what it is, Agent. I'm talking about someone bringing a gun to the locker room.
Against the rules. Regardless.
I'm also talking about back and forth that escalated to the point where you had NBA fans walking into the stands. I'm talking about people literally fighting on the court. I get it that it happens in other sports and stuff like that, but that's not a good image. And so to change the perception of how the NBA is looked upon amongst Americans, you have to make decisions that don't really have nothing to do with how they play basketball. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I'm not saying what it is. It's just what it is. And so even though you could say that's a negative, that part of his legacy or his tenure, even that Chris Paul trade bullshit, which is definitely bullshit, all of that does not usurp what he did in the beginning of it and throughout the entire time when he was there as he continued to grow the league, introduce a salary cap, allow the growth of the salary cap through the years, because it's not like it just stayed stagnant for a significant amount of time. Yes, it jumped up through the roof in under Adam Silver. However, it was already headed in that direction due to David Stern. It was already headed in that direction. And as a side note, Adam Silver should not.
Learn it again, man. You're crediting the dude with every successful business decision.
I get what you're saying. There was other people who made the decision.
Had a team and that flopped. And so
who had a team?
They meet Vancouver. There's plenty of teams you tried to expand to. Or I get it.
You still have to keep it. You still have to keep it open to other buyers and things of that nature, because they found a buyer for the the Pelican, well, the Hornets team at the time, they found a buyer for the Hornets team under David Stern. All of that stuff was under David Stern.
Here's all I'm saying, Lo. He was unpopular for a reason.
He's unpopular because people don't understand what he actually truly did for the NBA.
No, I understand what he's able to accomplish in that whole front office. I think the NBA is one of the most progressive sport organizations in the world. And they're always first to the punch. And that's rare to see in a sport league because a lot of the time, especially with the MLB and the NFL and the NHL, they're always lagging behind. I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're always late to make decisions. And that often results in either slow growth or decline, as what we're seeing in the MLB. And NHL is stagnating, and they're trying to find ways to speed up the pace. I mean, he knew, David Stern knew ahead of time, that he was going to need to make the game more interesting to watch. And I don't think policies had nothing to do with that. I think stuff like removing hand checking.
I'm about to say, those are rules that they changed to make the game interesting.
So, but I think those are relevant rules that, in my opinion, although make it more challenging to defend, make the game more exciting to watch, and make it more appealing for a broader audience. I don't understand what restricting how someone dresses helps that, but when you make rule changes to help facilitate making the game more interesting, especially to the casual viewer, while also keeping, obviously, the hardcore guys engaged, then I think that's successful. And so he's made plenty of rules like that. When Charles Barkley would abuse his back to the basket, they did a 5 back to the basket rule. Boom. Anytime there was some sort of abuse, Michael Jordan pushing off with his hand every time he's trying to hit his shots, then they begin calling that a charging foul.
And so what I'm asking you is, and you're right, it's early.
But you didn't mention those. I think those are the most relevant things.
But you're bringing it up as well. And so what I'm asking you is, James Harden right now has found multiple ways to abuse the league. Right. Why hasn't Adam Silver changed the rule yet?
But keep in mind, the Charles Barkley stuff, the Michael Jordan stuff, that stuff happened deep into their careers or after they retired, right? Remember when I told you, like, it might have been a year ago, I think Dirk putting up his knee when he's going up for a fade, I think that shit's going to be banned from the NBA after he retires. I don't think they're going to keep that in the NBA because, I mean, it is impossible to defend. Unless you have Giannis length, you cannot defend a Dirk Nowitzki
post fade. So why is Adam Silver waiting? He needs to do it right now, right?
No, but that's what I'm saying, is sometimes it happens after they retire.
Nah, he need to hurry up and do that since he's a great commissioner. Why did Adam Silver allow all that money to be allocated to all the teams all at one time, virtually killing the whole purpose of what a salary cap is supposed to do? Why would Adam Silver do that?
That's how the rules are. That's what the CBA looks like. And the CBA was decided in 2010, Lo, before he was the commissioner.
No, allowing that much money all at once? Because they had to renegotiate how much money it was because it wasn't clear on how much money was going to be invested into the TV deal and how much money was going to be allocated to all the teams.
What are you talking about, Lo? All that stuff is described clearly in the CBA.
What CBA are you referring to? Because I know for a fact they had to renegotiate.
It's a union, like any job. They sign a collective bargaining agreement relationship.
What year of the CBA are you referring to?
There's only one CBA, Lo. The CBA was signed in 2010, and then there was a chance to cancel it, I believe, in, what was it, 2016, I believe? Or it was 2015, 2016? And then they decided to continue instead of canceling it, and so it expires in 2020. And if they want to renegotiate what the split of how much revenue they make, players compared to the league, if they want to renegotiate TV deals or how the money is distributed, then it's going to be done in 2020. And I guess that's when we'll see the first, unless there's a controversy before that, major challenge for Adam Silver. That'll be the first major challenge. There's most likely going to be a lockout because I think the Players Association can ask for a lot. And then the league is going to be like, yo, like, we're trying to take some back right now. And you know unions don't give up. If you let them take everything, they'll take everything. And so there's going to be war, Lo. And we'll be able to see, I guess, then. I'm not saying he's the greatest thing to ever happen. I just think he's doing a better job right now than David Stern was doing. Anyway.
He's not, though. He's not.
We'll leave that to public opinion. We'll see what people think. This podcast has gone on for a long-ass time, Lo. We should end it here, man, before this shit runs for like 2.5 hours, man.
Matter of fact, say your player of the pod, man.
Wow, let's think off the top of my head. My player of the podcast is Richard Jefferson. He gave me the most... What's the word I'm looking for?
Sensual? Satirical. Sensual? Oh, okay, my bad. Go ahead, keep going.
Whoa. No, that definitely wasn't the word, Lo. Piece of content. It made me laugh. and I wish more NBA players would be willing to joke and be open on social media and with the press at times. It's funny, all right? And at the end of the day, all we're looking for is entertainment. So shout out to him, man.
My player of the pod is my man, Vic. Just love me some Vic, man. Shout out to you, Vic, man. I know you listen to the podcast. We're going to link up later on. Yo, he was out there serenading. Oh my God, you're dreaming. He was out there serenading them real quick at the NBA Awards show. I peeped it on the timeline, Vic. You know what I'm saying? Got his little vocal game going on strong.
Why are you pretending like you're friends with him right now?
That's my guy. Chill out, yo. Shout out, yo. Shout out to you, Vic. I peep you, Vic, man. You know what I'm saying? Can you name that many people from your day ones? You know what I'm saying? I've been there since day one.
Lo, you say he was going to be a flop, my guy.
I never said that. Hey, Vic knows what's up. He know you playing around. He know I've been always on the team, man. Got that. Also, I got a rookie Victor Oladipo card, too, you know? Yo, Vic.
You bought that last week. Come on, man.
I peeped the game, man. I see you serenading them with the voice. Player of the pod, Victor Oladipo, out there hitting them with the vocals yet again. And
are you done?
Yeah, we doing the podcast, man. Yo, shout out to everybody who listened.
Was it a two-hour podcast?
We're cutting out the middle part, remember?
That's going to be like 5 minutes, man.
I don't think so. But I mean, we'll figure out. If not, then I guess I'll chop it up and make it two different pods. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this. But yo, shout out to everybody who listened to the pod out there, and rate us 5 stars as always. You know, gotta get the ratings up. And we will see you all next time.
Hey, peace. Email me at callmeagent00@gmail.com. Let me know how crazy Lo was today. Peace.
Hit me in my DMs and tell me how stupid Lo. I mean, I said Lo.
Lo, yeah, dumb. You're right.
No, I'm taking that part out. Hit me in my DMs and tell me how dumb Agent was today.
You're ridiculous, dude.